Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
It is just wonderful to be here and to particularly this series that you're doing, Psalms of Hope, which is, you know, the Psalms are just so suited for Advent, for this series of Advent. And Advent is a season in the traditional church, and I think for us today, where we look back to the first coming of Christ 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate that. But we also look forward to the second coming of Christ, where it's like we're in between the first coming and the second coming. And there's a bit of a tension there living in that, and I think that'll come across a little bit today. But as I was worshipping just before, I felt that there's someone here today, and Christmas is not a good time for you. I saw a smile on the outside, but that smile is just covering a whole lot of dread. And it's like, you just don't like Christmas. It's not a happy time. It's not a time where the only thing you're looking forward to is getting past Christmas. And I just think the Lord wants to do something in your heart and in your spirit today. I'm not saying He's going to take away how you're feeling, but I just got a real sense that He wants to explode something in your heart. And at the end of the service, we're going to be praying for some people. And if that's you, or it might become more apparent as we go on, I want you to come forward because I want to lay hands on you and I want to pray for you, because I've just got this sense that the Lord wants to do something amazing in your life today. Maybe there's a few people who Christmas is not the best time of year, and I'll pray for as many as come forward. But Advent is a time where we celebrate the great messianic hope and the great messianic promise of all that we have in God through Christ, all that God wants to do in and through us in our lives, but also upon the earth. And today, I get the great honour and privilege of looking at the most famous psalm of all times, probably the most well-known scripture inside and outside of the church next to the Lord's Prayer. I'm looking at Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 was written by a shepherd, and it was written about the shepherd of the cosmos, the shepherd of the universe, and it points towards the good shepherd, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an incredible passage of scripture that, as I said, highlights these different hopes and promises that we have in Christ. And we have them because of our relationship with Jesus, who is described by the writer in Hebrews as the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, one of the sad things about being in ministry for so long is you do a lot of funerals, and they're not always good times. Well, rarely are they for the people left behind. But I can say this with confidence that probably Psalm 23 is the psalm that's read out at most funerals. Ben McEachin says this. He says, "This psalm has left an indelible mark of security and comfort upon the cosmos." I like that. Psalm 23 has left an indelible mark of security and comfort upon the cosmos. But it's not just a psalm for the dead and the dying. It's a psalm for the living. Even though it has comforted people through death and through hard times for over 3,000 years, it's a psalm for the living. And today, I really believe that you're going to be greatly encouraged by everything this psalm has to say to us. It will encourage our walk with God. I've got a great little devotional at home, working through the Psalms in a year. It's by Tim Keller, and it's called The Songs of Jesus, which I love. Last year, we did a series called Jesus's Playlist. If Jesus had a Spotify account, what songs would be on it? And we worked out it'd be 150 of the Psalms because they were the songs of Jesus. And so we preached through some of those Psalms. But as I was preparing this, I did wonder, Psalm 23, Jesus knew the scripture off by heart. He knew the Psalms off by heart. I wonder whether in the Garden of Gethsemane, I wonder if on the cross of Calvary, that Psalm 23 was one of the Psalms that encouraged Jesus as He did all He had to do. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I grew up in a family that was very Catholic. We were really Catholic. My mum was friends with nuns and priests that used to come into the back bar of my dad's hotel in Toowoomba and have a bit of a kind of quick nip, you know, particularly Christmas time. We celebrated Lent. We fasted on Fridays. We only ate fish. We did everything that Catholics do. We were surrounded by statues and images of Jesus, of Mary, of Joseph, of the saints. And I remember that a lot of my really profound memories of growing up as a young boy were to do with some of these images and statues and things that kind of leave a real impact upon your life. And I remember one of those images. It was on a thing called a holy card. Any Catholics here who knows what a holy card is? Okay. It's like the Catholic version of baseball cards. If you're in school and you're good, the nuns or the priests will give you a holy card. Generally, it's a picture of the big players, you know, Jesus, Joseph, Mary, some of the saints. And often there'll be a scripture or something on the back. And I remember this one holy card, and it had a picture of Jesus carrying the sheep upon his shoulders and walking through this dark place. And as you turned it over, the words of Psalm 23 were on the other side. And look, I don't know where I was when I was about 9 or 10 in terms of the Lord, but I know this, that just seeing that image, seeing that card, seeing that scripture, there was something in my spirit that I just knew that whatever happens to me, like Jesus has me covered, like he is with me, that he's going to walk with me. And I still can't explain it, but I remember that image clearly. And it wasn't until a few years later that I realized why I needed that image and why I needed that word of comfort. The image of God is a shepherd that is right through Genesis. It follows the whole biblical story, you know, of creation, of fall, of redemption, of restoration. It follows that whole story from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, there's a beautiful verse there in Genesis 48:15, where Jacob is on his deathbed and he's blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. And he blesses them in the name of the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. What a testimony. The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. We move from Genesis to Revelation. We get to Revelation. We read about the saints who are coming out of the tribulation. And they're standing there before God. And one of the elders speaks to John of the Lamb at the center of the throne, who will be their shepherd and who will lead them to springs of living water. And of course, there is the very famous and all-powerful self-description that Jesus gives us in John 10 of the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The only shepherd in the history of the universe who knows what it is to be shepherd and sheep. Wow. So we're going to look at the psalm this morning, and we're going to look at the functions of a shepherd through this psalm, because as we look at these functions, I believe that the different functions of the shepherd encapsulate all of these hopes and all of these promises that are ours through Christ Jesus, the good shepherd. So let's start, verses 1 to 3. This is all about how the shepherd provides for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I said this before, but this psalm is more about living than it is dying. And I say that because it talks about things that only affect the living, about eating and drinking and sustenance and salvation. And I love these verses because they're a reminder to us today that we have all that we have because of God. Everything we have because of God. Do you really believe that? Come on. Some days I don't. I kind of get into that. No, I'm doing this. I'm doing the work. I'm bringing the money in. I'm building this. I'm investing here. And sometimes it's easy to lose sight that we only have what we have because of God. You know, we can live in this country, Australia, incredibly blessed. And, you know, I think these verses really challenge ourselves with the notions and belief of individual self-sufficiency. And we think it's all about us. We think that we are the masters of our destiny, that we are the determiners of our faith. But folks, the truth is, the ultimate reality is that we have everything only because of God, only because the shepherd gives it to us. Someone has observed that there are over 170 verses in the Bible that refer to the different ways that God provides for us. And of course, Paul famously declares in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Everyone's got that on the fridge, right? It's a famous verse. It's such a short verse, but it's so true. My God will supply all your needs. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples to ask for that provision. And I think in doing so, he's affirming this dependency on God. Give us this day our daily bread in Matthew 6. And I love Matthew, I love in verses 25 to 26, where Jesus tells his disciples not to worry even about food or clothing. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body or what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Well, if only we could get that into our spirits. The Father knows our needs. The Father provides all that we need through Jesus. And he wants us to come to him and completely trust him for everything that we have. Yeah, we can't just sit back and do nothing. We do what we know to do. But even so, it's all coming from God. This psalm is about dependence and our dependence on God. I've always loved it when my kids come to me and ask me to do something, or they come and they ask you for something, generally money, but whatever it is. But I have this wonderful memory. For me, a kind of profound and life-changing memory when my youngest son, David, he turned 10. David looked a little bit awkward. I hope he's not listening to this. He looked a little bit awkward as a kid. His ears used to stick out. Like, he had beautiful blonde hair and blue eyes, but his ears used to stick out. And Maureen and I thought, yeah, one day we might have to get some surgery done there just so he doesn't get bullied. But thankfully, he grew into his ears, and he's a captain now in the army. He looks a good-looking rooster in his uniform, and he's grown out of it all. But I remember when he turned 10, I said, David, what do you want for your birthday? A special treat. He said, I want a big breakfast at the coffee club. It was lovely when life was so simple. I want a big breakfast. Okay. If that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. So I put him in the car and we drove down to a coffee club at the Grange. I remember sitting there on the footpath with him, and he's there, his ears sticking out and his eyes wide open. And the waitress comes around and she says, what are you having? I said, two big breakfasts, please. And she looks at him and says, he won't eat a big breakfast. I said, doesn't matter. Well, he sat there. He ate everything on that plate except the tomato, which he still doesn't eat today. It doesn't matter what his mother says to him. But I remember sitting there thinking, how good is this? How great to for your child to be able to give him something that brings him such joy. And I thought, if I feel that, what does the Heavenly Father feel when we come to him and ask him for things? It just delights his heart. He wants us to come to him because it's all about relationship. These first three verses are all about all that the Lord provides for us. Everything that we need in life, he will provide. Verse 3 says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I mean, that's all down to Jesus, isn't it? our righteousness is in Christ. It comes because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We can't work towards it. We can't earn it. We can't make ourselves any better. We can't spruce ourselves up. I was driving here this morning. I don't know why, but this old song, it keeps coming to me lately. It came to me again. I started singing it. I don't know if you know it, but you know, it goes, I am covered over by the precious blood of Jesus that he gives to me. No one knows that. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus lives in me, or the other way around. But I just got excited when I'm singing it about this is all about him giving this to us. It's not about us earning it or us making ourselves righteous enough. He provides our righteousness. God is the source of our salvation. And it's all been accomplished by Christ on the cross. There's nothing we can do to improve our standing before God. And yet, Satan would come and he'd want us to believe the opposite of everything that the scripture declares, everything that this psalm declares. He wants you to think that you provide for all your own needs. He wants you to believe that you are the master of your destiny. He wants you to believe that you can add something to your salvation just to make God love you a little bit more. It's all a lie. Jesus has done it all on the cross for us. He is our righteousness. There's a lovely lady in our church, Margaret. Margaret's in her 60s, has owned a lot in the past, but has lost a lot through a breakdown in marriage and that. She's in her 60s, and she's still looking after one of her adult sons who has a few challenges. And she's been living in West End in this beautiful unit for about 5 years, been paying about $500 a week. And it's a great complex. It's near the river, swimming pool, tennis courts, hop, skip and a jump to the West End markets. Perfect location if you like living in West End. And she has been there and, you know, she's been amazed that the rent has never gone up. The landlord has been really generous to her. Well, someone spoke to the kids spoke to the landlord. The landlord's children spoke and said, listen, you need to be getting more money. So the rent's gone up to 740 from 500. That's a big jump. That's a big jump. She's got one income coming in. So she said, I don't know what to do. And so she started praying to the Lord. Lord, you've got to look after me. I can't do this. You know, everything says you'll provide for me. So she started kind of going to real estate agents and looked at all these different units. She decided she wanted to be somewhere near St. Lucia where she worked. She said, Lord, I'm going to do the legwork, but you've got to do the rest. And so she went to all these different places, and 2 weeks ago, she went to this unit that was open. Real estate agent was there. There was only one other person there. She's highly unusual. There's normally 10, 12 people. And anyway, she started talking to him, and that unit wasn't going to work out for her. But she thought, I got to be a little bit bold. So the other person left. She said to the real estate agent, listen, this is a bit of a weird question, but you don't have anything that's going to come up soon that you haven't kind of advertised or released yet? And he said, oh, how do you know that? He said, I had something I was about to list this morning for St. Lucia, and I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't do it. I don't know why. And she said, I know why. So she told him that she's a Christian, and you know, she's been praying, and the Lord's looking after and all that. And they started talking about all these different things, about how long she'd been in the other unit and all of that. And this guy said, I like you. If you have a look at the unit, and if you like it, it's yours. So she went online, had a look at it. She said it was beautiful. She said it was even more beautiful when she went and had a look at it in person. She was worried, but she didn't have a lot of money. She needed a washing machine and a dryer. She said, I walked into the unit, and guess what? The landlord's put in a new washer and a new dryer. And she was just overwhelmed by the goodness of God, that God had provided for her. That mightn't sound a lot to you, but if you're a single mum kind of doing all of that, this is a massive miracle. And she rang me. She was so excited. She gave a testimony in church. We all cried. It was great. And then she rang me again just the other day. She said, Pastor Glenn, you won't believe this. The old landlord came around and said, Margaret, you've been a great tenant. I didn't really want to put up the rent, but I'm going to give you back $500 anyway, just as a gift for Christmas. I love it. The shepherd provides for everything that we need. The next verses, verses 4 to 5, tell us that the shepherd protects us as well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Emmanuel, God with us. This is what we're celebrating at Advent. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. These verses are about how the shepherd protects his sheep. And unfortunately, we have that little line about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, which none of us like to hear about that. And it's a metaphor, I think, for going through hard times, going through challenging times. And we don't want to hear this, but it's unavoidable for every one of us. Who loves hanging on to the promises of God? You know, particularly the words of Jesus. Let's hang on to that one, like John 16, 33. In this world, you will have trouble. No one's running with that one? But, David, but? There you go. Amen. That's good. That's good. But that's there, isn't it? You're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. Yes, I'm there with you. I think the reality with valleys are that they're impartial. That they pick everyone. It doesn't matter who we are. At some stage, at some time, we're going to go through the valley. And it's important for us to go through the valley because it does something in our relationship with Jesus that's profound. We go through the valleys in life for a reason. And it's the shepherd who leads us through that. He's overcome the world. Because I think it's in these valleys that our reliance on God, our reliance on the shepherd goes deeper, doesn't it? We know that we need him. Often we can just cruise through life through the good times. It's not, well, we don't really need him. We're doing okay. But when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you know that you need the shepherd and you need him to be real. And I think for Christians, there's something profound in the fact that suffering is purposeful. If you're a believer and you're going through a difficult time, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you have to know this, that your suffering is purposeful. God is doing something in that and through that. And he's with you in it. Whether you know it or not, he's with you and he's doing things. He's lining things up for your future. He's lining things up for eternity. I love this. I know school's finished, so I don't want you all to cut off if it's an English lesson, but here we go. The first verses in this psalm refer to the shepherd in the third person. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. But when you get to verse 4, in the valley of the shadow of death, David changes referring to God and it goes to the second person. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, you prepare a table. You anoint my head with oil. Then when he gets back to verse 6, it goes back to writing about the shepherd in the third person. Something happens in the valleys that make our relationship with the shepherd more personal. And for that reason, it's necessary that we go through it. So if you're going through a difficult time, if it's like the valley of the shadow of death, you have to be encouraged today that God is doing something in and through that trial, in and through that circumstance. You're not going to come out the same. You're going to come out differently with a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember my first deep valley that I went through. I saw that image. I was probably 8 or 9. And then I was 13. My dad was running the hotel in Toowoomba. And one Saturday afternoon, he had a heart attack and was dead before he hit the floor. And I just realized when I was preparing this message that it was actually 54 years ago today. On the 15th of December, he died. My 5 sisters, my mum and I remember us on that Christmas day. We'd been to midnight mass. I remember on that Christmas day, in this lounge room, big lounge room in the hotel, we didn't know what hit us. Everything changed. We knew everything was going to change. My mum couldn't run a pub. She was a nursing sister. And I remember being encouraged through that period of this image of a shepherd with a sheep on his shoulders going through a day. And I just had this sense, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on, but I know that God's in this somehow. And I mean, I was only 13. I couldn't even articulate it then, but I had this feeling that I wasn't alone in the universe. And I think those dark valleys do something. When we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, something deep happens. I didn't come to the Lord till I was 26, But that was a profound experience for me, which I think set me up for the future. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Shepherds had a staff which had a crook on it at the end. You've probably seen those. And they had a rod. And in most pictures of shepherds, they had one or the other. But shepherds carried both. The rod was smaller, sometimes just a few feet, and it's what they used to protect the sheep when something came to attack the sheep. That's why the rod is a comfort for the sheep. It's a comfort for us today as well. When anything came to attack the sheep, the shepherd had the rod, and he would go on the offensive. I love in 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is David about to go out and face Goliath, and he's in this conversation with Saul. Saul's saying, you can't do it. He says this in verse 33. Saul said, you're not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he's been a warrior since his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. And I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. I love this. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and I struck it and killed it. Wow. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I'm not taking you on, son. I love that part. You see that image of the shepherd with the rod. Well, that's God. That's God protecting us and going out on our behalf. Several years ago, I was part of a team. We were in the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon, and a lot of the refugees and Syrians were escaping the Syrian civil war. We were supposed to go into Syria to speak to some of the pastors and church leaders to assess the best way that we could support them at this time. And I've got a file full of stories of God's provision and God's protection. And one of my favourites is one of the pastors in one of the Syrian towns said that this Syrian army officer, came into his church one day and said, I want to be baptised. And the pastor wondered whether he was being set up for something. He said, well, you're a Muslim. You know, we can only baptise Christians. He said, no, no, I want to be a Christian. Jesus just rescued me. And he said, what? He said, I was in a firefight in this town, and I thought we were going to be killed. And I prayed, God, if you're really there, you better help me, you better rescue me. He said, and Jesus appeared at the end of the street and said, follow me. And he said, I went down and I followed Jesus, and he saved me from the battle. And he said, I'm here and I want to be baptized. He said he was so keen. He said when the day of the baptism came, there was 10 people being baptized. He said, he's there and he wants to go first. I said, no, I'm going to baptize you last. There's a kind of order. And he said, he's kind of really antsy. You know, he wanted to get baptized. So the Pastor Edward baptized the other 9 people, and he comes and he's so excited about being baptized, and he gets baptized. He said, when he came up out of the water, he jumped out. He said, he just hit the floor and kissed the ground and thanked the Lord for the fact that he was a Christian, that God had protected him. Wow. Wow. This psalm tells us that the shepherd provides for us, that the shepherd protects us. I love this next one. It tells us that the shepherd is present in our lives. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does it mean to dwell in the house of the Lord? I think Pastor Nathan unpacked this beautifully last week when he did Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What a great prayer. What does it mean to be followed by goodness and mercy and to dwell in the house of the Lord? Well, I think they're metaphors for living in the presence of God, for being aware of God's presence. I mean, God is always there, but oftentimes we don't even give it a second thought. We don't even give it a second thought. Every truth I said that's in this psalm that God wants to teach us, the devil would tell us a lie. And he would tell us that you're not worthy enough to come into God's presence. He would tell us that, no, the presence of God, God's up there. He's too important. He's not involved in your life. But this psalm assures us that the shepherd is present in our lives. And I think sometimes we don't believe that, we don't know it, because we don't take time to stop and say, God, I just want to spend time here in your presence. Let me experience your presence. Maybe as I read your word, as I pray, whatever it is. How often do you sit down just in a chair and say, God, I'm here. Let me experience your presence. Because if you do, you'll experience it. Because God is around us. God wants to be at work in our lives. He wants us to have a sense of his presence. And it changes, you know. I mean, every time I walk down Boundary Street, you know, I got this sense, okay, I've got another pastor who stirs me up. You're a sentinel in there. When you walk down the street, you know, you're carrying the presence of God. Do you know that? Yeah, I do now. Yep. Okay. So I kind of, yeah, okay, here it is. Come on, let's go. And it does change how you look at things. It changes how you see things. God is present with us, and I love that. I mean, it's a promise that Jesus gave us when he gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can take that promise to the bank. God's presence in our lives as the shepherd is all pervasive. I love here in verse 1, we see the personal name for God, Yahweh. And when you go to the end of the psalm again in verse 6, you see it again. And it's like the beginning and the end. The very construction of this psalm communicates the fact that God is present in our lives. And we've got to believe that. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. The Hebrew word that's used here for follow is not as passive as follow sounds, but it's something much more aggressive. It's more active. It's more like you're being pursued. That word can mean to pursue, to chase, to persecute, to harass, or to run after. Have you got a picture of God chasing you down like that? He's after you. You're not getting away. I love that. His goodness and mercy will follow you. What a beautiful picture of God's goodness and his covenant love, his chesed, which is an amazing word which describes more than just love. It's this covenant that he has with us, that we are in relationship with him through Jesus Christ, and he's going to protect us, he's going to provide for us, and he's going to be present in our lives. The shepherd provides, he protects, he's present. And finally, I love this, the shepherd is personal. You're going to love this. David, this is all about you today. How's that? James, this is all about you. This is personal. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see it? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is personal. This is between you and God. I'm a big fan about the church and talking about community and us together, the individualism. But folks, this psalm is all about you, and it's about your personal relationship with the Good Shepherd. This is very powerful. The most powerful being in all of creation, the one who was over and above everything, the one who flung the stars into space, who set the limits and heights for the mountains, who created the very air that we breathe and creates the wind, who forms the mountains. He's the one who wants you to be in relationship with him. He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. He wants you to know his presence, and he wants you to know today that it's personal. When it comes to facing the future, we can have great confidence in the fact that Jesus is the great shepherd of our souls. Now, maybe you're here today and maybe it's the first time you've been in church. You think that you've come here by yourself, but if you listen to what I said, you have to know that actually Jesus has been pursuing you. Yes, someone might have invited you, but you're here because Jesus has brought you here today. and it would be remiss of me to tell you about all of the benefits that we have as Christians and as believers in Jesus because of what he's done for us, and not give you an opportunity to join the flock, to become one of Jesus' sheep. And I would love to give you an opportunity this morning to do that. I mean, right from Genesis to Revelation, it's a book about Jesus. We were separated from God, and there's nothing we could do to bridge that separation. God didn't want us to be separate from him, so he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for our separation. As someone said, Jesus lived the life that we couldn't live and died the death that we should have died. He died in our place. And I would love to pray with you this morning. You may not even understand completely what I'm saying, but you know there's something in your spirit. That's what we call that, God's Holy Spirit. He's doing something in you, and he wants you to respond this morning to this message. And I would love to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to call you out. I'm not going to do that. But very shortly, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and make eye contact with me. I'm going to ask everyone in the church to close your eyes and bow your head. No one's looking around. I just want to create a bit of an environment of privacy and security. So if you're here this morning and you would like me to pray with you while everyone's head's bowed, eyes are closed, can I get you just to raise your hand and make eye contact with me so I know who I'm praying for? Again, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you today. I believe God wants to do something in and through your life. Thank you. See your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I've seen them. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I thank you for these people here this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that in the name of Jesus, that you would take a hold of their spirits, take a hold of their lives, take a hold of their hearts. And today, Lord, that raising their hand would signal something that's different in their relationship with you. Father, I pray that for everyone who raised their hand this morning, that they would sense the reality and presence of your Holy Spirit at work in their lives right now. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name, and I thank you for every one of them.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.